Okay, welcome to CCCPR Radio number 3. And my phone is dying on me. Okay, sorry about that. Welcome to CCCPR Radio number 3. I'm Elemist here with Hack and Slash. We are live right now.
As usual.
Yep.
Live and pretty crappy.
Does my phone sound like crap still?
No, it's I think it's all right.
Okay.
We'll do it anyway.
That's good. First of all, the one thing I wanted to say when I start out the show tonight is I'm sure lots of you listen to our little
special.
To our little fuck accident special the other week. And I just wanted to say there was lots of false accusations that were made. I'm not defending accident. I'm not defending your ex or anything. But I think that it would be best at this point if we stop the flaming for a while. I just wanted to say on behalf of CCCPR Radio, we are not going to necessarily sit here and flame them from now on.
Yeah, it's all put behind right now, and our side is back up anyway, and it's all good right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I guess I should pimp the site right now.
Can you hear that staticky stuff every once in a while on my phone?
Yeah, I heard it, but it's not that bad.
Okay.
We'll just live with it. I haven't really updated the site in about a week, so, you're still gonna see our, old stream address, and, I'm gonna update that tomorrow, so just so you guys all know, and you'll also see Master Gideon when in fact it's Elemis. He's gone back to his old handle,
yep.
And I'm gonna be trying to put some new features in the site, some suggestion boxes and stuff like that. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah. One of the things that I was going to talk about a little bit on the show today that I'm sure most of you have probably heard about from the forums or from me talking about it in the channel is the calling card database that I'm setting up right now. For those of you that don't know about it, we have a little channel set up in Calling Card DB on irc.esper.net. It's the same server that our CCCPR channel is on. You guys are welcome to come there to give suggestions or just lurk or help out with the project or anything. Sir I from Data Machine, he's a great guy. Props to him. Got involved in the whole community through some of the problems that we had earlier. He's actually our main coder on the database right now. For those of you that don't know what it is, it's basically a database of community shared calling cards. Numbers and PIN numbers that people can people who are free to use with some restrictions, of course. We're doing it in an effort to basically give people that don't otherwise have the opportunity to make long distance calls. We're doing it mostly on a freaking approach. You know, we don't want you to use the calling card numbers necessarily to call your grandparents cross country or something. We'd like to encourage people to use it for conferences and things like that.
Yeah, not just like the type of conferences we get on. Actually, like go out and learn something with them. You know,
conferences would help.
Not just get on and talk about a bukkake or anything. You know.
Yeah.
See, that's good.
We want you to learn. We want you to learn things. You know, we want to give you a chance to get out there and learn.
Yeah. And it's a chance for people to give back to the community. You know. It's a real nice project. We should see that coming along just fine. Sooner or later.
If anybody is interested at all, we don't quite have the database finished yet, but if you look on the DDP forums, I posted a topic a little while back in the Freaks and Geeks section that details the information that I need if you want to submit a calling card, and people are welcome to submit a calling card numbers if they want now, and we'll be adding them to the database when we're finished. Sirai's made a lot of progress on it, and we should be getting done with that shortly. And we'd appreciate any submissions for anybody that's interested in helping out. I mean, it's a community effort. So, Hackenslash, have you had any progress then with your infrared?
Yeah, actually I have. I was going to build a modify it a bit and add an extension cord to it practically so I could integrate it into my monitor. But I wanted it to be real smooth and nice, you know, not stand out or anything. Just have a little hole in the bezel on my monitor. But I've gotten the cord set up right now, and I had to reconfigure the whole thing, which took about an hour. It was quite weird at first because I didn't think that just making an extension to it would modify anything, and actually it did. The codes for the buttons were a bit different, just like barely different. It was pretty weird, but it still works, so I'm pretty happy with that. I'm going to maybe post some pics when I'm done with it.
Probably getting some type of interference, you know, because, I don't know.
Maybe that too, yeah. Yeah, it's the thing right next to my monitor, and I'm actually might be getting some interference. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. I mean, I was actually going to work on the same thing, because I have this DVD remote. It's actually meant for a DVD player that my dad purchased some years back. It's just been laying around, not in use, for a few years.
Yeah.
Went on and looked at LIRC's site and found out that it is indeed supported by it. I mean, there's actually a configuration file made for it already.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say, that if you want to do this and your remote isn't there, that doesn't mean that it's not supported. See, my remote control wasn't there. And mine's also a DVD remote from a Sharp DVD player. And it wasn't there, but it's easily configurable. I mean, you just have to run, like, two programs, and it'll configure it. So that's something really easy you can do.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a good idea. I'm anxious to try it out.
I'm coming up with some
uses for it. Yeah. I got a PIM CPR number 10, of course. I'm actually coming up with some uses for that infrared remote for CCCPR number 10. That's a show that's coming up in a few weeks. I'm telling people it's totally going to revolutionize hacking and freaking broadcasting. It's something that they've got to check out. Props to Sirai. Props to Gray Static for offering hosting for it, because it's going to require some extra bandwidth.
It's
something you're going to have to check out. It's going to be awesome, I promise you. I mean, I'm working on it right now. Well, not right now, but I'm already working on it.
Yeah, and you can imagine it's going to be pretty big if we're pimping it from, like, 7 episodes before. Yeah. Hopefully it's going to be big and everybody's going to like it and everything.
Yeah. But, okay, I got to pull out my little idea thing.
Yeah, we actually took some advice and prepared some very, I don't know how I should call them, very rudimentary show notes. It's like a 10 line text file. It's like,
ideas for what to talk about in the show.
Yeah, and of course we're probably not even going to,
Oh, one thing that I was going to say is, I don't know if there's anybody that's listening to the stream that's not in an IRC channel. I'd guess probably not. But for anybody who isn't in our IRC channel, you're welcome to come on, talk. We're taking some feedback. We're trying to talk less about what's going on in the IRC channel to avoid confusion for those that are listening to our show later. But you're welcome to come into our channel. It's CCCPR on irc.esper.net.
Yeah, and I just want to say that you're more than welcome to come and talk and just lurk and listen, but don't be a dick. We had three incidents during the past week where people just came in and were total assholes with the other people in the channel, and we were actually pretty lenient on that. We gave them several chances to stop and behave, but from now on, I think I'm personally going to just kick you if you start talking shit, because, you know, we're there to learn, to discuss, and to make the show better, so, you know.
Yeah, if you start being an idiot, I'm either me or Hackslash or Digital Attrition, he's our new channel operator. We will not hesitate to kick and possibly ban you from the channel.
Yeah.
Another thing that I got to mention is that we're going to be taking call-ins later in the show sometime. We don't know yet, but you're welcome to call in now, sit and talk to each other, and then wait to get on the show. The call-in number is 510-528-5802. And just call in. We'll be connecting that later on during the show sometime.
Do you want to go into the hardware thing?
Okay, yeah. One of the things that I was going to talk about, actually, for the show today, we were talking about it the other day in the channel. Actually, I believe it was me and you and Sarai just talking about it just a little bit.
Yeah.
Is homebrew electronics. I mean, I tend to call it actually open source electronics. I like the term
yeah.
a little better.
And hardware, just open source hardware and all, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that all of you have. I'm sure that all of you are avid supporters of the open source community for open source software.
Yeah.
And I guess that pretty much everybody listening to the show right now, if not 100% of their software is open source, the vast majority of it is, or pretty close to it, or transitioning to it in the case of Cicero. But one of the things that I wanted to emphasize a little bit was the need for people to better support homebrew and open source electronics. I'm sure all of us would admit that electronics and, well, like hardware, would benefit greatly from the same kind of support and the same amount of people and time being put into it as what's put into the hardware. I mean the software.
The software, yeah.
The software community with the open source.
Yeah, the thing about I just want to make clear here the whole free software thing. Free and free software refers to you being able to see and modify the source, not free as in free of cost. That, you know, that's different. Open source software can come at a price. I just want to make that clear. And if we ever have open source hardware, you can be sure it's going to be like that. At least I think it will be, because, quite honestly, this is exactly the example I was giving Elemist in the IRC channel yesterday. No matter how open source your hardware design for example, for a graphics chip is, you can't make that in your bedroom, you know, like you can software. And, you know,
Yeah,
it's just
there was a point. There was a point decades ago when it was easy for people to make their own hardware.
Yeah.
And
you can still make PCBs and everything, but just not at that scale, you know, not that small, not that performant.
Yeah. I mean, what I'd like to do is encourage anybody who's interested in it at all to learn more about hardware and get involved with any homebrew groups or discussion groups or anything that they can. I mean, it benefits the whole community in the end.
Yeah.
I personally have the worst luck with hardware, I think, of anybody that I know. And I would love to have cheap hardware that's been designed by hundreds of people working to design it.
Yeah, and that's why I think actually open source hardware could actually work real well, because if it is open source, you know what's in there. You know, you can modify the design and everything, but you'll still have to buy it, you know? So I think that actually the hardware industry will be very more likely to accept open source hardware because of that, you know? Because you're still going to need factories and everything to make it, and you can't, you know, you're still going to have to buy it sooner or later.
Yeah. I personally believe that that's one of the next steps in computers, you know, is
open source everything.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of a strange idea, because if you go back and look at computers 30, 40 years ago, everything was open source. And it stayed that way for a long
time. But
and pretty much the end of open source, the original end of open source software was pretty much due to a little guy that we all love, Bill Gates, you know, on the most major scale, coming out with all this commercial software originally. I mean, at first you'd have people that would just, I mean, they'd buy these big mainframe or, you know, huge computers, and you'd have a whole group of people that write their own software or use software that came with the machine. I mean, you can't have anything but open source punch card software, because you can look at the punch cards and say, hey, that's how that works. I can change it by doing this or doing that. I mean, it was really the introduction of binaries, you know, that pretty much stopped open source software in the first place. Of course, you all know that open source software pretty much got a really good start back in the early 90s with the introduction of Linux.
Yeah, and the GNU Free Software Foundation.
I was actually wondering something the other day. The Apple Computer Company, they originally released full schematics and design information on their computer series.
They did?
They did originally with the first models, and I was wondering when they stopped that, if anybody in their C channel happens to know, that little fact would be appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other thing about open source hardware is that, the difference, it's the same difference with open source hardware and open source software, actually, is like, this is actually a really bad analogy, but I'll still go with it right now. It's kind of like the difference between just taking a CD out of a shop and downloading music, honestly, I believe. It, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see what I'm trying to say, but that's...
Well, I don't know. The fact remains that it costs a lot of money to
produce
hardware.
Yeah.
Once you have that, you know, the exchange of digital information, you know, can really never be stopped or slowed or impeded, you know, in any way, stopped in any way, like what you're saying, the so-called illegal MP3 downloads, you know,
yeah.
Illegal music downloads.
Well, actually, somebody, I honestly don't remember who it was on the BinRev forums, they said that not exactly the downloading is illegal, it's the guy who uploads who's going to be in trouble, so it's sharing that's illegal, you know? Not
yeah.
The downloading aspect of it. Yeah, maybe next they're going to stop teaching kids to share in kindergarten, who knows? That'd be...
I mean, I'm personally a musician, maybe not some of, as big as some of the people that whose music is getting shared, but I'd love it if people were sitting there and exchanging my music all over the internet.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that just proves that people like it, and, you know. Honestly, you know what would be pretty cool? If they had one of these download, pay-per-download services... That you could just, you know, honestly, I don't think a song should be $1, you know, 99 cents, whatever. That is just, seriously, I think it's more than what it's worth, you know?
Yeah.
I think that if you could download a song for 25 cents, they would actually work. Because when you think about it, $1 a song is just the regular
yeah,
price, right?
Point. Yeah.
$15 a CD, 15 songs, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand that it's the choice option that is more intriguing to people. You can choose your own songs, right? You don't have to get one, just the one song you like and the 14 other shitty songs, but... you know, still, it just doesn't justify selling it for that big of a price. And if, you know, if you just, I know this horse has been beaten to death too many times, but if you could directly reimburse the owner of the music, not the author of the music, I should say, not the copyright owner, per se, just... the author of the music, you know, that'd be just great.
You know what I think would be a good idea is if there was some way we could limit how much the artists own. You know, say, hey, you've earned this many hundreds of thousands of dollars on this song. Now, stop. You know, you have enough money to live in luxury. You have enough money to produce more music. You have enough money to have a good life.
Yeah, but
now
but
you,
see,
you
have to
enjoy
you
your
have
artistic
to,
talent. I mean,
you have to put yourself in. The artist choose then. I mean, how would you react if somebody did that? You wouldn't do that, would you? I mean, that's, you know, I don't know. But I made music, and if people are still going to buy it, then...
I wouldn't care if I was earning money on it in the first place. When I sit down and write a song, it's something special that I care about, you know, and I want people to hear it.
Yeah.
If I can make a little extra money on it, that'd be great, but I don't care if people are spreading it throughout the internet and not paying me.
But then again, this attitude has been gone for a good amount of years now. I mean, it's pretty much obvious that the people in the music industry right now, and I'm not saying the RA, I'm saying everybody in the music industry, the artists included, are in it for the money. I mean, is that just my impression, or... am I crazy or am I right, you know?
I'm guessing, yeah, that'd be probably be the only motivation to be in it. But...
Did Doug just drop on that one, or what happened?
Doug, you still there?
Okay, whatever. He'll be back.
Okay, yeah, he just told me that he did drop in. Okay, we're having a little technical problems, but okay.
Yeah, I don't know. The music industry right now, today, as it stands, is a very messed up very corrupt business, so it's, honestly, it's just better to stay away. You know what? Fuck it. It's not worth it.
Yeah. Well, okay. One of the things you were saying earlier about the difference between charging like 25 cents and 99 cents for a song, one of the books that I'm reading right now, I can't remember the specific example, but it was sort of in relation to what I was talking about earlier, the sort of death, the original death of open source back in the day when they started to come out with more charged, you know, products.
Yeah.
For charged products. There was a, I can't remember exactly what it was, but there was a pricey product on the market. It was I can't remember what it was.
Did it come from Microsoft?
I'm not sure. I think it might have actually been Bill Gates' Altair basic compiler.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a Microsoft product. But
wasn't that
product.
One of the first pieces of software to be actually sold?
Yeah, that was actually. But he was charging, it was quite a bit of money. It was like $50 or something for this little basic compiler. And somebody decided to do a little experiment and develop a nearly identical basic compiler. You know, very similar, ran on the same architecture and everything. Except
yeah.
I believe he only sold it for $5.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did he have people, many more people buying from him, whereas Bill Gates' basic compiler was pirated endlessly, you know, copied and...
All right, go ahead.
All over. Not only did he have people actually buying from him, as opposed to Bill Gates, they wouldn't. He had people sending in money, saying, don't bother sending me anything, I already copied it from a friend. See, it's that kind of deal. What you're saying, I agree with you, yeah, they are charging way too much, and charging a lot.
But then again, actually, you have to think about... see, this guy had to sell 10 copies, right, to make the amount that Bill Gates would make off of one copy, right? $5 in respect to 50. And if Bill Gates sold one copy and then had 10 people pirate it, you know, and that other guy just stole 10 copies and had, you know, the same 10 people pirated, Bill Gates was still would have won, right?
Well,
unless the proportions between the buyers would have been grossly, different.
Well, I think they would have been. As I was saying, he ended up selling a lot more copies of his five.
Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to say. Did he necessarily make more money selling more copies than Bill Gates selling less copies for 10 times the amount of money?
I don't personally know. I'm not sure that that's a big issue, though.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I'm just trying to, yeah. No, the thing is the whole mentality of that, you know, it is gone. I mean, that one example you gave, right, that the one guy copied it off of a friend and sent him the $5, you know? That would never happen today, would it?
I don't know. Well, it does happen quite a bit. You have all these people supporting the open source, maybe not in the exact same way, but you have people making...
Donating money, yeah, yeah.
Contributions to the open source community, to various products in the open source community.
Yeah, and you can buy box sets of, you know, Slackware disks and, Red Hat, not really anymore. You can buy the Enterprise version, but, yeah. I'm not even going to go there, because...
Yeah, that kind of bugs me, but... Yeah.
It'll just piss me off, and I'll go on a rant and everything. So, Yeah, back to the whole hardware, open source hardware. Do we have anything else on that?
I actually don't right now. I was thinking that next show I might talk a little bit about some various organizations that support some of the same ideas.
Mm-hmm.
That people could support if they're interested in it, help out if they're interested in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking online for some open source hardware sites and everything. Whoa, ow, jeez, man. Did you hear that?
Yeah, it wasn't that. Apparently you got
that was bad.
I heard it, but it wasn't that loud.
Yeah, there's actually a couple sites. For example, opencollector.org/yfree. It's opencollector with two L's .org/yfree, and they have a lot of links on writings on open source hardware. So go check that out. And it's got an interview with Richard Stallman on open source hardware. And of course, he's the founder of the Free Software Foundation. Yeah.
Oh.
You still there?
Doug, apparently he dropped because he's on hold on the phone with Microsoft Xbox Live because he forgot to cancel his subscription that he's not using.
Yeah, leave it to Microsoft to fuck our show up.
I know that.
You know, I mean, of all the companies, who would want?
I switched to Linux, and Microsoft still finds ways to mess up my life. But
yeah. No, I mean, they actually do. I was, I'm sorry, I have to do this. I got Grand Theft Auto 3 running on my Linux box, and I'm so happy right now because I can play my all-time favorite game. And yes, I like it more than Vice City. On Linux, and it's great. And that was my little hack and slash pimp right there.
I think Linux is undisputedly the best gaming environment, and it will
grow
to be a better gaming environment once gaming companies begin to support.
Because Linux has better system resource management, and that is pretty much what games run on. You know.
Yeah.
The best you can, you know, organize everything, the better your games will run, right? So, you know, yeah. We were actually throwing around an idea in the IRC channel yesterday. I really don't know if I should talk about this, but, Sarai and me and Bland, I think, was on. We were talking about making a gaming distro or something like that, you know? That would actually be pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, specifically for the purpose of gaming.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Linux is going to continue to grow in its ability for gaming once companies start to support it more.
Yeah.
The main limitation right now on Linux's gaming ability is the fact that most of the games are made for Windows. And things like Wine and Winx and stuff tend to be very limited in their ability to play certain Windows-based games.
No, actually, you know, for example, Wine, since it's not an emulator, as the name says, runs Windows apps and games actually very well. You know, when I put a GTA 3 on this computer, I really didn't expect it to go as fast as it did. And I have my video card is a TNT 2, and you can imagine the shitty frame rates I'm getting with that, but you know, it actually works, probably just as good, if not better than what I would be running if I had Windows XP on here, which would probably like eat up all of my 256 megs of RAM. Just like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I have 128 megabytes of RAM on my computer right now. And I have to say that I have KDE on my computer running under Slackware. And I have to say that KDE on Slackware 9.0 with 128 megabytes of RAM actually runs just as well as the Windows XP visual environment on my other computer, my family's box, with 1 gigabyte of RAM.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's just sad, you know?
That's when you know that they really needed to start to manage the resources better.
I mean, it makes me sad to know that that much computer is thrown away, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you work on some of the stuff I'm working on right now with, like, that calculator. Some of the projects that I'm working on or looking into working on with where I'm dealing with memory, like 256 kilobytes of memory and such.
Yeah.
And you have to look at just how much of an incredible waste of system resources that Windows is. And it just makes you laugh sometimes. I mean, it's just ridiculous at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually a couple days ago, I was talking to an ex-Unix admin, and he was telling me how he was friends with a Windows server administrator, you know? And the Windows guy used to be fascinated how he wouldn't have to reboot like every other day, you know? And
whereas the Linux guys, they're like, oh yes, I've had like 30 days of uptime now.
Yeah, actually I've had let me SSH into my server right here and see how many days of uptime I've had so far. I don't even know. Okay. Should I read my password on the air?
I don't think so.
That'd be a
bad idea, I think. Well, you're behind a router, so I don't think it would matter unless you have it.
That's bad security practice.
But
21 days. That's when I put my site up, so I haven't had one reboot so far. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the difference between Windows and Unix computers. With Windows, if your computer crashes, you're just like, oh yes, my computer crashed. I guess I'll have to reboot. Whereas Linux, you're, oh man, I have to reboot? What the hell is going on? What's the problem? You know? How can I fix the problem?
I mean, I was, for me, on Windows, not on Windows XP, when I used to have, Windows XP actually isn't that bad on blue screens. I've had this compact for about 2 years now, and running XP, and I've only reinstalled like twice. And I haven't had that many blue screens, probably like once every 2 or 3 months. It's really not that bad as it used to be with like Windows 98.
That it doesn't have a problem with blue screens. Yeah, it doesn't blue screen, but all your programs crash still.
Well, yeah.
And instead of just blue screening and bringing down the whole system, it will bring up the annoying little box. So, sorry, this program has stopped responding. You can submit an error report.
Yeah.
And it'll do that. It does for that with me endlessly, you know, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even. I had Word, Microsoft Word on XP.
Yeah.
Once, and I ended up having to reinstall the whole thing because it got into an infinite loop of problems, pretty much.
Yeah.
For some reason, when I'd be typing a document, it did this several times to me. The whole thing would just crash.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start it back up, it has the little document recovery thing, you know?
Yeah.
Microsoft Word does the newer versions. And it would automatically bring up the, and that would crash it again.
Yeah.
I bring it up, automatically brings up the document, crashes it again. I can never get out of that. I ended up reinstalling it the first time, but then I went and ended up just deleting the its temporary save of the document.
Yeah.
When that happened after that.
Yeah, you know why this happens? I have an old article I have on Old School Freak, the OS Journal, and I have in there this little thing that I think is probably true. The difference between open source software and closed source software is that since open source software is made by people who volunteer, right? You know, people who like to do this, and they're doing it for free. They're not expecting to get anything out of it, you know? They're just doing it for the passion of coding, you know?
Yeah.
They will sooner or later, if not on the first try, but then you're going to actually, you know, make it better incrementally, you know? Whereas if you try and, like, rush a product to sell it, you know, it's going to end up like shit. Because, you know, do you see what I'm, where I'm getting at here?
I enjoy software ends up better when you have dozens of people that actually enjoy working on it, rather than...
Not when you have to...
Rather than some Microsoft programmer who went through 4 years of college that hates working on programming and is forced to go by some deadline that's pressing him too much that he can't even turn out a quality product.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care about turning out a quality product.
Yeah.
And that is the problem with Microsoft software. If you actually had programmers that... that cared about it, you would end up with a much better product.
Yeah. And if you didn't try to make...
I was just going to say, we're still going to do the call-in.
Yeah.
And so if people are interested in calling in, probably going to be connecting that pretty soon. Number is 510-528-5802.
Yeah. Do you want to call our numbers just before we do the call-ins?
Oh, yes. I was going to tell you. I'm going to see if I can get on right now with a Microsoft technical support technician. I seem to be having some trouble installing Microsoft Windows XP Home Edition. I have an upgrade CD right here on my Altair 8800. And I just want to see how long it takes Microsoft to realize that I'm trying to install Windows XP on a 25-year-old 8-bit computer with an Intel 8008 processor. So, Doug, if you're listening right now, why don't you go ahead and connect me to that number that I gave you earlier?
Is Doug still here?
Well, he is listening, even if he's not connected to the line.
All right. Well, hopefully he's...
Yeah, if you'll go ahead and connect me to that. While we're waiting, just so people know, the call-in number for the conference line, and we'll probably connect that pretty soon, is 510-528-5802.
Yeah, and just call-in, we'll hook you up with all right, okay, you'll get on the show. There's
nothing special.
Yeah, there's... I was going to say we're going to hook you up with some kind of T-shirt or something, but then I figured, wait, we're not a real, commercial show, so...
If you are calling regarding the recent virus attack, please hang up and call 1-866-PC-SAFETY or 1-866-727...
Which recent virus attack?
727...
All of them?
338.
Thank you for calling Microsoft Product Support Services. Personal support is not open at this time. Personal support is available Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Pacific.
Because that's the only thing I can pay for, that I have so many free technical support. See, that's what really bugs me about Microsoft, is they're now forcing people to pay for support on their products.
Yeah.
Which is kind of annoying.
Wait, so...
With Windows XP, they give you, like, two free...
quote-unquote incidents?
Yeah, and that's their lowest support. It's, like, for personal support, you know? And it's basically some technician who has no idea what they're talking about. Whereas, with Linux, there's hundreds of mailing groups out there.
And usually... can actually find
a... to your problem, or you can pop onto, like, Freenode, and there's dozens of channels that can help you out.
Yeah. And then you can always just hop on down to your local Linux user group.
Yeah.
There's, like, a shitload of them. I live in, like, the asshole of America, you know? I live in West Virginia, and there's one down here, so... don't even say there's not one around you, because there probably is.
Yeah. I mean, and there's, even if there isn't, there's other computer-related groups that can
meeting,
help you out.
2600 and everything, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and even if you have a computer store that has knowledgeable people working there, they're usually better help than
Microsoft
technical support is.
Yeah.
Okay, we still have nobody on the conference line, apparently. If you guys want to do a comp, we need people to call up now. We're probably going to connect you in just a minute. We'll probably as soon as we get a few people on. It's 510-528-5802.
So until we do that, can we do my number?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right, Doug, just connect me to that Canon number.
While we're waiting, I just want to say real quick that, just so you know, Doug is going on vacation for a few weeks, and so she'll be going to be doing the show for the next couple of weeks, but there's going to be a drop in quality.
Yeah, the same.
We don't have the telephone system, what we have right now. And so we're going to be doing what we did for the original.
All right, calling.
Thank you for calling Canon USA. For quality assurance, your call may be monitored or recorded. For all product sales inquiries, including the location of authorized Canon dealers, product specifications, or to purchase supplies and accessories directly from Canon, press 1. For technical support, repair service, new product registration, or operational assistance with a Canon product, press 2. Technical support for personal copiers, typewriters, calculators, and presentation products is available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Technical support for camera and video products is available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 12 midnight, and Saturday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To speak to a technician, please call back during our normal business hours.
Son of a bitch. All right, well, I guess Doug can just deconnect. Man, this sucks.
Yeah.
We chose, like, the shittiest hour to do the show, man.
Sometime. If we ever do a show, just have fun calling people, you know?
I was going to get the op to say Bukkake, but, you know, we actually went pretty good this show. I only said Bukkake, like, twice.
Yeah.
You know?
Typewriter.
Thang's trying to stay off the F word, and I'm trying to stay off the B word. Well, actually, no. Just Bukkake, Bukkake, Bukkake. Bukkake. All right, enough of that. So, anybody on the comp line?
Who here still uses typewriters?
Who the hell? Well, actually, you know, they might have modernized, newfangled typewriters. Who knows?
Newfangled.
Did I just say newfangled on the air?
That's why we invented a little thing called a computer. I mean, why buy a typewriter? I mean, you can probably build a system out of, like, old 486
typewriter parts.
You can probably build a system out of, like, a 486 motherboard and stuff for less than the price that Canon's going to charge you for a typewriter. And that can do word processing, and, I mean, a lot better than a typewriter can.
Well, then again, you have, like, and I'm not trying to bash on senior citizens or anything here, but, you know, then you have, like, old people who are accustomed to typewriters and everything, and they just might feel, you know, comfortable with one of those things. You know. You still there?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I am.
So, are we going to actually, like, do anything else? Is anybody on the conf line?
Hold on just a minute. Let me give that number one more time. We're going to connect it in just a minute, so we need people to call in. I mean, if you don't have anything to say, just call in. Have a good time. 510-528-5802. We'll connect it as soon as we get at least one person on.
Could you say that again? I'm trying to type it on IRC.
510-528-5802.
5802. We're trying to get Bland to get on the show.
Yeah. Well, he was on it last time, wasn't he?
Yeah, I know. Maybe we'll get him to say Bukkake.
I think Sys Error is going to get on in a minute. He probably disconnected because he's on dial-up and wants to get on.
Yeah.
I know he wanted to. So go ahead and call in. Get on the show for a while. Give any shout-outs that you have. Any comments,
yeah.
Questions.
You guys need to get on the show, because if you don't, then we'll look bad, and we don't want that.
Yep. Well, we'll come after you and hunt you down.
Yeah. No, literally, we'll hunt you down. Did somebody just drop?
No, I don't think so. Okay, we're going to go ahead and connect the conference now. We have one person on.
Is
on. So, Doug, if you could go ahead and connect that, that'd be appreciated then.
Bland doesn't want to get on. He doesn't do conf lines.
Are we connected now?
Yes.
Okay.
Who
all was on here then?
I guess it's just me. I'm 813 Eric.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
So 813 Eric, why don't you tell the other people in the IRC channel right now and listening to the show to call in?
Yeah, you guys need to call in. Me sitting on this conference alone is not that fun.
Yep.
So while you guys are calling in,
for a few minutes, you can still call in, get on the show. Just remember to announce yourself when you get on. Don't just sit here and turn down your speakers or anything so we don't get delay.
Echoes.
Your amount of delay.
Dude, you got any shouts or anything you want to give out or anything? Hello?
Hey, you're on CPR Radio. Who's this?
Yo, this is Sarpedon. What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Hey, you're on CPR Radio. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, and I'm just calling in, wasting time.
Who's this?
This is Sarpedon.
No, somebody else disconnected, too.
Oh.
They both get dropped?
I'm here.
Dropped. 813 Air, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, if you get on, announce yourself. So, okay.
This is why conf lines can get somewhat confusing at times.
Yeah.
The ring, just let everyone know, the ring means someone has joined, and the dial tone means someone just left.
All right.
See? Someone just joined.
Okay. You're on CCCPR Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Sarai.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good.
You have any shouts or anything? Okay, who's this?
Damn.
Is this not Domino's? My bad. No, this is Voodoo Hal. What's up, guys?
Hey, how you doing?
I want some anchovies, please.
We'll have that shipped in 3 days.
Would you like the bukkake with that or not?
Hey, FedEx, yes, send it to me. I'll give you my FedEx number.
An extra order of bukkake on the side?
Wait, would you like it on the side or on the pizza?
Both.
Yeah, this is CCCPR at its best right here.
Yep.
We got like 5 people on the comp talking about bukkake.
That didn't take long.
Yeah, I just heard myself on the radio. It's like 5-minute lag.
There's no delay.
Yeah, there is.
It's all in the mind.
Oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, with me on AOL, you guys are ruining the chat. I get 5-minute delays.
Yeah, we get to ruin the show for this error.
Yeah, good point. That's probably we should all call in, 15 minutes beforehand or whatever.
That's what I told you. I told you the number, half an hour ago.
Yeah, I know. I called in, and, I just got dial tone forever, so I was like, screw it.
Well, yeah, because you're going to get
the
dial tone until,
it keeps ringing until somebody else connects.
Yeah.
So yeah, I know.
You're the only one on, and we hadn't tied it in yet. You just get a ringtone.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, you guys are live. You want to give shouts or anything? Yeah. Make the best of this wonderful opportunity we have provided you.
I'd like to give shouts to Bukkake.com.
Okay.
Is there even a Bukkake?
I don't know. Probably is now.
Yeah, there's a Bukkake.com. It says, Ultimate Bukkake Banded Japan. More. Bukkake Virgins. Gay Bukkake. BDSM. Oh, God.
Bukkake Home.
All Bukkake.
Bukkake Facials. Ooh. Amateur Bukkake from Germany. Woohoo.
Hey, that ruined it.
Yeah.
Leave it.
Look, if you can't, you know, if you're an amateur, if you can't do it right, then just don't do it at all. You know, you're going to ruin it for everybody.
Risky business. Someone could get hurt. Hey, I got a shout
out.
Yeah, all of you guys at CCCPR and Decoder and Lucky at on default.
Thanks. Anyone else?
Yeah, I'd just like to shout everybody on the radio. Let's see, let's start. Actually, I guess I'll give a shout out to Elmist for letting me bounce off his Secure Shell server tonight.
That's no problem. Okay, anybody else?
I'd like to send a shout out to Data Machine because we kick ass and Tripod can blow my cock.
Tripod can do that.
Well, sure they can.
Hold on just a moment.
You have to buy their professional web hosting for them to do that.
Oh, damn it.
I knew they would offer their professional services at some point.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm back. Little interruption.
Okay. Who was talking
to now?
Anybody
else have any doubts or anything? Any questions? Any comments?
I think we're about to...
I like to comment on that Windows rebooting every day. I used to play this RPG online with some friends, and after playing that game for an hour or so, Windows would lag so much that we'd have to restart. So it was multiple restarts a day.
Well, a comment on the uptime on Linux systems. Data Machine, before a power outage, we had 80 days running on it, which is pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
My uncle had an old 486, or no, like a Pentium 1, 75 megahertz, with probably 16 or 32 megabytes of old piece of crap RAM. He had, like, SUSE 6.4 Linux, something really old. He kept that thing up for, like, almost 2 years before he had to put more RAM into it. I mean, that's how great Linux is. You can keep it
this
up forever.
This place to find lots of exciting girls. Currently, there are 80.
Okay, who three-wayed in the porn number?
Oh, damn it.
Not me.
Drop.
No, Soraya doesn't do porn. Soraya's a girlfriend.
Wait, what does that have to do?
What?
Hello? Sorry, I couldn't resist that one. The urge was great.
Yeah, back to the uptime thing. I currently have 21 days on my personal server here, and I'm actually going to have to cut it short because did I just say cut it short? Never mind. Oh. I'm going to have to shut the computer off because I'm moving soon, so that's going to be a bummer. But, you know, I'll have plenty of time to make it up after that. It's a piece of crap system, though. I mean, it's just a Pentium 166, and it runs great with Slackware 9.1.
That's awesome.
Yeah. My desktop can get, like, 3 weeks uptime, except for recently because my sound card, the plug wiggles, and it can short out the entire PCI bus, sending the whole system to hell.
That's not good.
That sucks.
I've got a SparkStation 5 that's been up
that's
for about a year.
That's not Linux.
Oh, no, I know that. Oh, I got a Spark Station. I got an Ultra Spark sitting in my closet.
I've got an Ultra 5, too.
Yeah.
My Spark Station 5 has been up for a year because I always ran it headless, and I kind of forgot it was there for a long time.
It's
any comments or anything?
Uptime by obscurity.
Anybody have any last comments? Or?
I'd like to give shouts to that kid that made the Linux toaster. Thanks for stealing my idea.
Does it actually still toast anything, or is it just like...
I don't think so, unless you want a toasted motherboard.
No, the first thing he took out was the coils, and then at the end he said that he was going to make a Macintosh toaster, but he was going to leave the heating coils in.
Cook the toaster. Cook the
no, see, that'd be cool right there, to have a toaster with the 2.6 kernel on it. You know? Have, like, the Linux, the little, Tux case badge on the side of it. That'd be awesome.
Well, see, I wanted one with the CD drive.
That's like the poster boy for portability.
I actually had a friend once who made the, actually made a Linux coffee maker, because he couldn't find a timer that would work, so he just used a serial cable and had some fun. Set up a cron job.
What about your calculator you're making? Your
what?
Compiler for your calculator.
Oh, yeah, I'm working on that, actually.
You got any headway on it?
Not really. I'm still trying to learn a little bit about the assembly language, the Z80 processor.
Yeah.
What calculator are you programming on?
TI-83+. I'm having to make the 4chan compiler for it.
Okay. Yeah, I've been trying to work with my TI-92.
Jeez, 92?
Yeah.
Those things are cool. They look like a little mini computer, and they've got like a graphing screen and everything. They're pretty nifty looking.
Yeah, they're damn big.
They're probably expensive too, like 200 something bucks.
Yeah. They do 3D graphing though, which is really cool to watch. Although it's slow as nuts because it's using a 68,000 processor, the Motorola processor.
Yeah.
Nice and slow.
Yeah, I was really surprised when I went in and looked at the Z80 assembly language, the instruction set in it. Seemed like they could have really chose a more practical processor for such advanced mathematical stuff.
Yeah, but you know, then again, if it does what you use it for, you know, if it actually does the graphing stuff you need it to do, you really don't need all that much.
Any advanced graphing?
They didn't plan on you putting Linux in it.
They didn't design it for that. Man, why the hell did this company not design my calculator to drive my car? What the hell?
Yeah,
after I'm trying to get my calculator to become a DVD player at the moment. Was it designed for that?
After seeing some of these new car commercials and like all the computers and crap that they stick in there, like GPS and keyless entry and all this other crap, I'm wondering how soon it'll be before they have a James Bond-like thing where you can actually drive from a remote control or something like that.
Actually,
and then someone roots their car and drives them around?
Yeah, that would be funny.
Well, hey, I've got to have transport for my robotic elderly people.
Hey, you guys, I got to get out of here.
All right, later, man.
Bye. All right, peace out, sir.
There's actually an AVI floating around of these engineering students who took an old, like, beat-up car and turned it into a remote-control car, and they just destroyed the thing.
Yeah, that when you think about it, that really shouldn't be hard. I mean, pretty much all the hardware you need is a couple of, just like radio receivers and some modification to the engine and just some servos, you know?
The throttle control was just a little robotic arm that pulled the little throttle thing down. And
I
gotta go. See ya.
Later, man.
For braking, they had to use a hydraulic pump of some sort, but that was it.
Yeah.
And it didn't look too hard, but man, they destroyed that thing. All that hard work.
Have you guys ever heard of Botball?
Heard of what?
Botball?
Who just got on?
Yeah, who just got on? Okay, it's either a tape recorder or somebody's like standing somewhere like really loud.
Yeah, we got aliens on. No, guys, it's alright. It's
cool,
just the FBI picking up on us. It's cool.
Oh, okay.
The regular checkup.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, well, anyways, Botball, it was like this competition that we had at my local high school. What we had to do is, like, a whole bunch of different schools and stuff like that got together. Well, they had different teams, and each team would have to try to design a robot made out of Legos, and it had the two robot engines or whatever, an RTX and the Handy Board. I don't know if you guys are familiar with those, but like Sarai and I did it for our school, and we had to like program it to like say go up like so many inches and turn left, right, and then you had to knock stuff down to get points. Anyways, if you go to like botball.org, you can see more information.
Yeah, I just got a book for the winter holidays about it's actually called PC Toys, and it's got all these like kick-ass projects to do with your PC, you know.
Sweet.
And like Linux, I don't know where that came from. I meant to say Lego. Lego robots are one chapter in here.
Uh-huh.
Another one is actually controlling your coffee maker, so. And I'm not kidding.
That'd be too hard, I don't think.
They really have that, yeah.
That's so awesome.
Have hot, fresh coffee whenever you get up. That is so sweet, man.
That's why my coffee maker has a timer on it.
Okay, anybody have any last comments, shouts, props, anything?
Bukkake? Okay, no, we're done with that. My bad.
Oh, no, trust me, we're not.
You can never be done with Bukkake.
We will never be done with Bukkake.
All right.
Until, you know when we're going to be done with Bukkake? When we get a clip of George Bush saying Bukkake, that's when we'll be done with it.
That will be the day.
That's our oath.
I just received this letter from one of my many voters. What exactly is Bukkake?
What is your opinion of Bukkake, sir?
Oh my.
What does this have to do with the economy?
Seriously, go for the debate.
That or getting Arnold Schwarzenegger to say it.
Yes, Bukkake is very important to our economy.
That'll be hilarious.
If they had like Bukkake clubs all over California, you can bet your ass their economy would skyrocket. I mean, think about that. Somebody just dropped when I said that.
Lame.
Hey, who just dropped? Okay, are we the only ones on here now?
Lamers! You're all lame.
Alright, well, you know what? So are you, man.
Oh, okay. No, not you guys. You aren't lame. You're still connected. I'm talking about the guys that keep disconnecting.
Okay.
Alright, well,
Doubts, prop.
I just want to give shouts to, like, everybody who was on and, everybody who couldn't get on and,
Just the people in the cons.
Yeah.
Not done yet, but.
And Bland, because he doesn't do comps, so. That makes, like, no sense, but anyway. All right, well,
Doug, why don't you go ahead and disconnect the conference? All right.
Okay, one last shout-out.
Okay, go ahead.
Send a shout-out to Pepsi for tasting so damn good and totally, like, draining my wallet.
You really like Pepsi more than Coke?
Yes, I do.
Dude,
I also like Dr.
Pepsi
Pepper.
Is better than Coke.
Pepsi is better than Coke.
I don't know. Cherry Pepsi is better than Cherry Coke, but I have to say that Pepsi just tastes a little bit more blah than Coke.
Okay, let's have an hour-long debate next show.
All right, yeah, we'll have the Coke-Pepsi special where we go inside.
Pepsi versus Coke special.
All right,
I'm disconnecting. See you guys later.
Bye.
Later.
Bye.
Actually, Pepsi versus Coke would be a good topic for Bukkake Radio.
Yes, that would be.
That would be.
Which, by the way, we are going to be doing. We don't know when or where, you know, it's just going to be a spur-of-the-moment thing probably, but, you know.
And then we got CCCPR number 10 in a few weeks, 7 weeks.
Yeah, like 7 weeks.
I hope I'm there for that.
I'll need to check that out. It's going to be awesome. A special secret.
I hope I'm there for that.
Thing.
All right, well, I guess this is it, right?
Yeah, I'd like to give a couple of last shout-outs. Shout-out to Sarai. And Data Machine.
Yeah, for hosting us.
For hosting us and putting up with this whole stupid, with the whole issue that we went through earlier. And for calling in. Sarai, thanks for calling in.
is about the decoder. I'm lucky over at Default.
Yeah.
And give a shout out to RFA and Binriv. Do you have anything?
They rock.
Yep, they do. Do you have any shouts or anything, Hackflash?
No, I think I already gave shouts, so I'm good.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm Alanest, and...
And I was Hack and Slash, and I still am, but we're going to close, so...
Yeah, and thanks for listening to CCCPR Radio.
Late.